RadioInfluence.com. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to In the Trenches. This is Ian Beckles on Victory Monday. Let's hope that we have a gang of these Victory Mondays. It makes life a little bit easier. It makes, you know, talking about our beloved Buccaneers a little bit easier. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I saw that coming. I listen to sports radio. I listen to Buck fans and publications. I don't think I heard one person say that the Bucs were going to win that game. Not with any confidence anyways. I predicted on my show on Sunday, 31-10, Saints. And it sure looked like it was going to be that way on that first drive when New Orleans just basically dismantled the Buccaneers going down the field in that first drive. I don't think anybody at that point would have put a penny on the Buccaneers because they didn't slow them down at all. But we had a lot of football left. The Bucs just, they outgunned the Saints. I didn't see this coming. I don't know if anybody could have seen Ryan Fitzpatrick on the road in New Orleans, probably the toughest place to play, go in there and do that. Nobody saw that. No way. I don't even think anybody even started Ryan Fitzpatrick on their fantasy team. It's just not something that anybody can really see. And we're going to talk about what's going to happen with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston in a little bit, but that was as impressive an outing I've seen for a Buccaneer quarterback in many years. And I'm not excluding any of them. Ryan Fitzpatrick has his shortcomings. He has his assets. He's good at some things. He's not great at others. He was masterful yesterday. And there was little things that Ryan Fitzpatrick was doing that maybe other people didn't notice. Maybe some did. There was no called runs for Ryan Fitzpatrick other than I think maybe that the touchdown play would have been a called run. But other than that, Ryan Fitzpatrick was choosing to run. And this is the difference between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston, and there's a lot of differences. Jameis Winston, when he gets got, when I say get got, that means sometimes the defense figures you out. Sometimes the defense is in a perfect situation. Sometimes the defense calls a perfect defense. When that's the case with Jameis, Jameis does dumb shit. That's his problem. He does dumb shit. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he made quick decisions immediately all game long. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Take a look. It's not there. Tuck it. Run for 5 yards. 2nd and 5. I tell you what, 2nd and 5, 2nd and 7, it's not bad. Throwing interceptions is bad. Making bad decisions in crunch time is bad. It was pretty evident. And, you know, everything is overblown because there's 32 teams out there. There's 32 cities that are overreacting today. Fact. Okay. Because, you know, I'm seeing the memes for Buccaneer Super Bowls and this and that and the other. Great. I think it's great because 32 teams before the season starts, 32 teams have the ability to make it to the Super Bowl. After the first week, hey, only 16 teams can win. We're one of them. So why not us? Well, this is not why not us. Defense. We ain't got none. We ain't got none. That was not pretty at all. And listen, I've been on sports radio for a long time. I was never that guy to make it all about candies and gumdrops. Okay, it's not. You play like that defensively, you lose. If you play 16 games, you lose 14 of them. Okay? You don't win those games. Hey, we couldn't rush the passer. Drew Brees. By the way, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 417 yards passing. I don't know if that's best all times, but it's got to be top five, I'm pretty sure. Only one thing, he got outgunned by Drew Brees. Now, look at the difference between this, okay? And this is a big difference. You look at Drew Brees as the gunslinger. Drew Brees threw the ball 45 times to get 439 yards. 45 times, by the way, I think we sacked him once. And other than that, we didn't get hit a whole lot. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 28 attempts, 417 yards. Unheard of. It's unheard of. You just don't get that many yards. 21 completions, 417 yards. Unbelievable. Now, Todd Monken needs a lot of credit. It looked fantastic in preseason. It looked fantastic in the first game. I just saw a video of Donovan Smith going into the tunnel, into the locker room, and giving his offensive coordinator a big hug. Like, where has this been my whole life? Because as an offensive lineman, play calling is very, very important. And he put the Buccaneers in the right situation to win yesterday, and they got it done. So I don't see Dirk Koetter ever calling the plays again, and that's a good thing. Now Dirk Koetter can use his time and effort and energies towards the psychology and this, you know, part of the football. Make sure everybody's good. Make sure everybody, after they mess up, they're not, you know, their heads aren't down. Make sure everybody's not full of themselves. I mean, those are important things. And when you're calling plays and your plays, your offensive, you know, series is about to come up, you don't have time to do all that. Now he has time to do it. So a masterful game called offensively. We are a passing team, all right? In every offseason, Dirk Koetter tries to convince everybody here that we are a running team, we're a passing team. We're a passing team who the passing game will open up the running game. It's not going to be the other way around. It's just not. I don't know if our offensive line is that way. And I'm going to give away game balls every week. And every week do we win, by the way. You don't give away game balls when you lose. This week, I'm going to give two game balls away. One has to go to Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, just because he was balling out there. And the other one goes to the offensive line. I thought the offensive line was fantastic. As far as keeping, they have some fiends out there. They got some great pass rushers playing on the road. I know it was loud in there. And those guys, you know, they were good with the tests. And they passed with flying colors. We didn't get a chance to run the ball as much as we maybe would like to. Who cares? I mean, the balls that were coming out of Ryan Fitzpatrick's hand were high percentage balls, okay? Great decisions. And I'm telling you, what he did with his legs was almost more impressive than what he did with his arm yesterday. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's what I'm telling you about my people at MyBookie. Like, I'm not going to put you on the people that I'm not going to tell you are 100% legitimate, and that's my people at MyBookie. They've been good to me. They can be good to you as well. They have a whole bunch of different ways you can win money. We all know we like to gamble. Let's do it the right way. They have in-games, live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And you fantasy players out there, you could actually win by betting over under of how many fantasy points a player could actually have. So it makes a whole lot of sense. Join now and go to MyBookie. Use a promo code TRENCHES. That's TRENCHES. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code TRENCHES, TRENCES. And you play, you win, and you get paid with MyBookie. When you look at the weapons that we have here offensively, DeSean Jackson running out of the back yesterday, you got to be worried the second he hit that turf, his head slammed that turf. That is a good old-fashioned concussion. That's a good one. DeSean showed his colors yesterday. I mean, he was wide-ass open. Fitzy hit him. Look at the difference. This is the difference between Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick. When DeSean Jackson is coming streaking open, Jameis tries to put that dime right on him. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who doesn't have nearly the arm strength that Jameis has, he throws it across the field and gives DeSean Jackson enough time to run under the ball, and that's a high-percentage throw. And ended up being a touchdown. He had big touchdowns by DeSean Jackson. Mike Evans is Mike Evans. I mean, I think he's top 10 receiver in the league. I predicted a Pro Bowl season this year. I predict a Pro Bowl season for Mike Evans and also DeMar Dotson, who I thought played well yesterday as well. But when you're looking at DeSean, Mike Evans, Godwin, who is still learning, big old imposing cat. His touchdown was a great throw, great catch, great route. Everything was great about it. O.J. Howard's coming into his own as a big physical specimen. Cameron Brate didn't see a whole lot, but we know he's there. So this is, we have weapons, guys and gals. We have weapons out there. Whether it's going to look like that all the time, I doubt that very much. But we're going to scare teams. That's for sure. We're going to scare teams offensively. And Dirk Cutter and Jason Light, it's not a problem yet, but the way Ryan Fitzpatrick played in that first week, you know, they're not going to want to sit up here and be answering who's our starting quarterback all day long. That's what's going to be asked. I get it. They don't want to do that because it's really not fair to either quarterback. But Ryan Fitzpatrick plays half that well in the next 2 weeks, he's going to be the starting quarterback. Because Jameis, who I couldn't imagine Jameis, I understand, like, football is one thing, it's physical, it's tough. For a competitor like Jameis to be home watching that game or wherever he watched the game, you want your team to win because ultimately it's going to be important that your team goes to the playoffs and you go to the Super Bowls and kind of things like that. So this is supposedly, allegedly, your team. You're going to want the Buccaneers to win. But show enough, you do not want Ryan Fitzpatrick to play that way. No way. I guarantee after that game, Jameis was like, oh boy, here it comes, because it's coming, and deservedly so. It's not like Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for 15 for 25 for 190 yards, and we won 17-13. That ain't it. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick was one of the better quarterbacks in the whole NFL yesterday, okay? So you don't want to look ahead, and you don't want to talk about what if he plays two more games like that, because that's a long shot, people. That was like one in a century game for an old quarterback. And this doesn't happen very often. Whether he's going to be a good quarterback, that's up to him, but that's not going to happen again. We don't know if that was Ryan Fitzpatrick. We don't know if that's the Saints defense just being awful. We don't know if it's because it's the first week of the season. That's not what we are. I hope that's not what we are defensively either, because we're going to have to be better than that to get things done, that's for sure. But it had to have been painful for Jameis Winston to sit back and watch Ryan Fitzpatrick win in that fashion. It had to be painful to watch for Jameis to watch his teammates hugging Ryan Fitzpatrick like he's the dude, okay? That's got to be hard. And either way, whatever way this thing unfolds, and I don't know how it is going to unfold. I just don't. Nobody does. Not Dirk Cutter. Nobody. It's going to be uncomfortable. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick, the way he played, looks like a guy that wants to be on that football field. That's for sure. He enjoyed himself. And you can see his Harvard intelligence on the football field. I mean, you can see it coming out. So if he plays anywhere close to that for the next 2 weeks, it's on in Tampa. I mean, it's the soap opera begins. That's for sure. And how uncomfortable will that be? And Jameis Winston has to walk back into his locker room, and hand the ball off to somebody else. And this is the thing with Dirk Cutter and Jason Light, and I think they know this, and this might be one of the biggest factors of the whole thing. If Jameis is your future, he has to go in. Period. You can't sit him and then look him in the face later on and tell him that you're our guy. Players don't want that, okay? They really don't, trust me. And they're going to have to make a decision. But 21 completions, 417 yards, yeesh. I bet you start him next week on fantasy. I bet nobody started him this week. I bet people start him next week. Now, Philadelphia's defense looked pretty damn good the other day. So, once again, don't expect to see exactly what you saw yesterday every Sunday. That's not going to happen. Now, when you talk about Jason Light and Dirk Cutter and an evaluation of them, we have to evaluate them in a lot of different ways. To this point, you got to think of their draft as being Busterama. Ronald Jones sat, healthy scratch. Vita V, don't even know what he looks like. When Vita V gets in, he's going to have to play. And young defensive linemen aren't good. Okay, so that as much as you guys are waiting for V to come in, to improve our defensive line, that's not going to happen. I'm letting you guys know, he may make a play or two, but he's going to be out of position more often than not, okay? Because he's a young football player. He's had very few defensive reps so far. He's had very few full-speed reps so far. His wind is going to be just god-awful. He's a big guy to begin with. It's hot as hell in Tampa. There's a lot of different factors. You know, Vita V is supposed to be there to stop the run. That's what we did, you know, tremendously yesterday. We did a great job stopping the run. We can't rush the passer for nothing. I think there was one sack, Vinnie Curry, on a nice outside move. Other than that, I don't think I really saw Drew Brees hit the ground a whole lot. And that reminds me of last year. So defensively, we're pretty similar than what we were last year. Quan Alexander running all over the field, which is good. But Quan can't do everything by himself. So defensively, we're pretty close to where we were last year. That's not championship football, by the way. It doesn't work. You don't win championships playing defense that way. That's never happened. It's week two of the football season, which means a second chance at victory, bragging rights, and huge cash prizes are up for grabs all season long at DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. This weekend, DraftKings has over $2 million in total prizes that you can play for free with your first deposit and compete for your share. And that's basically share of the $2 million. With one-week fantasy at DraftKings, you choose when to play. There's no season-long commitment. It's real, real easy. It's a weekly thing. And at DraftKings, you're the GM. You choose your players. You choose your salary cap and see how you stack up against the other GMs out there. No matter what your skill level is, there's a contest waiting for you at DraftKings, so you have to take advantage of this for sure. Because nothing makes football more exciting than actually having some stake on it. We all know that. Download the app or go to DraftKings.com now. Use a promo code Beckles. That's B-E-C-K-L-E-S. To enter a contest for free this weekend with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $2 million in total prizes. That's code Beckles, B-E-C-K-L-E-S, only at DraftKings. When they're walking into One Buck Place today, everybody feels good about themselves. The Bucks are 1-0. But when they walk in that defensive room, I promise you, it's not all smiles and giggles because they got manhandled yesterday in the passing game. And it wasn't for a couple costly fumbles that were, you know, one was probably forced by Quan Alexander. The other one, the Saint gave it up a little bit. If it wasn't for that, we didn't stop anybody. We didn't stop anybody all game long. We didn't stop anybody. We didn't rush the passer. We did a wonderful job stopping the run, which was good. We didn't run the ball that great as an offense, although we didn't really give it a chance. Eventually, we're going to have to get there. But we passed the ball so damn well that I don't think it even really matters. Peyton Barber runs angry. I'd like to see him run the ball more. You know, 19 carries, 69 yards. Yeah. I just think that it was a situation where Todd Monken just thought that Ryan Fitzpatrick had a hot hand, and he did. And he wasn't scared to call plays for him, and he wasn't scared, and he did it. So it's a different team with Ryan Fitzpatrick in there than it is with Jameson there, no doubt. It's not going to be boring, that's for sure. Because I didn't see that coming. I don't know if anybody saw it coming. And we got to sit back and enjoy this for as long as we can. But don't sit back too long because our next two competitors are son of a bitches. Okay? We got the Eagles, and then we got the Pittsburgh Steelers coming in town. So you can rest on your laurels and think that we are the shit. We went to New Orleans, and I had this discussion with Mike Calta. I just came off the air on the bone. And he was like, well, the Saints are a good football team. We don't know that. Last year, we thought the Saints were going to be bad, and they were good. Last year, we thought the Bucs were going to be good, and they were bad. The odds are, between the Bucs and the Saints, one of those two teams is going to be terrible. That's the odds, you know. We have Atlanta, and we also have Carolina in this division. It's a lot of pretty good football teams. So not everybody can be good in the same division. That's impossible. They all have to beat each other out. So we don't know what the Saints are, and we don't know what the Bucks are either. You'd rather be in our shoes. You know, Saints fans right now are just shaking their heads going, God dang, we let the Bucks score 48 points in our house? That's not a good look. It's not a good look to let anybody score 48 points in your house. But in order for us to keep this momentum going, and you can get momentum from one game, there's no doubt about that. Dirk Cutter has to make sure that everybody doesn't get full of themselves, though. Okay, I see. You gotta watch that everybody thinks they're good, because it just takes one punch in the face and all of a sudden you get back to reality. And really, we were really, really fantastic on one side of the ball, and that was it. Special teams, I thought it was okay. But defensively, that's something that needs to be rectified and real, real quick. We got to get after the passer. We have to. I don't know if it's going to be Carson Wentz. I don't know if it's going to be Nick Foles next week. Either one of them, you just don't want to give either one of those guys a bunch of time sitting back in that pocket. That's the one thing we talked about in the offseason that had to be rectified, and that's a pass rush. And they went in to revamp the D-line. It's a whole new D-line other than Gerald McCoy. Gerald McCoy is omnipresent. He's always there. He played about it like he always plays, just right up along the way. I told you guys what's going to happen at the end of the season. Gerald McCoy is going to have 8 sacks, 32 tackles. That's about what he has every year. Every year. Regardless who's playing with him, regardless who's playing beside him, regardless who the competition is, that's about what he does. He's going to get injured a little bit. He's going to get banged up a little bit. He's going to come off the field a little bit. And hopefully results will be different than they have been in the past. But yesterday, the results were probably about the same. The win is wonderful. The win is wonderful. But defensively, that has to get substantially better than it was yesterday. It has to. And, you know, when I hear all the commentators, you know, commenting on the defensive backs and maybe the lack of play of, man, you can't play defensive back without a pass rush. It's never been done, and it's never going to happen. So they have to find ways to get to that passer, whether they utilize blitz, but they have to figure out a way. I haven't looked yet, but if my boy Shaquem Griffin got a sack, I'm going to be pissed, because he did start for the Seattle Seahawks, by the way, and I didn't see statistically what he did, but I'm going to check on it. And if he got a sack, I'm going to be. If he ends the season with a bunch of sacks, I'm going to be pissed, because he looked beautiful in a Buccaneer uniform, considering he's a hometown kid. That nub would have looked real, real good, okay, in the pewter. That is for sure. So if anybody wants to ever email me, it's IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. I had a question here. And they're talking about the second to last drive and when we're trying to run the clock out. And this guy says, pizza lover, says that when everybody has a 9 and 10 man front at the end of the game, why doesn't the quarterback check the play or check to a pass play? Well, when you're trying to run out the clock and you check to a pass play and it's incomplete, the clock stops. So does everybody know it's going to be a run? Yes, because that's what it has to be. You don't want to stop the clock. If you have a 10-man front, 9-man front, there's plays that can be run into everything. They're not as successful, but they can be run. I know it gets, you know, frustrating from a fan standpoint. You want to run a play action, but that's a way to lose your job as well. When you're up in a game and you try to play action when you should have been running out the clock, that's when basically you have the ability to lose your job as well. So that's football's not going to change. Football's been the same forever. You know, some of it you'll be able to predict, some of it you can't. Both offenses were doing a whole lot of predicting yesterday of what the defenses were running, because there wasn't a whole lot of resistance yesterday whatsoever. So this Buccaneer team didn't even punt until the third quarter. I'm not sure that's what they are. It's what they would like to be, but it's not what they are. And we're going to have to find a way to win grittier games. This is going to be a grittier game against the Philadelphia Eagles, that's for sure. The Saints are a finesse-type team. The Eagles are more of a punch-in-the-mouth type team. So we're going to see what we're all about. Everybody matches up differently against different teams, and this is going to be a completely different team coming in here this week. And hopefully the kids are up for their challenge, because they sure shocked me and a whole lot of other people yesterday. That was actually pretty darn enjoyable to watch, that's for sure. Once again, if you guys want to email me, IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. I'm going to be at Franklin Manor tonight with Bud Light. doing the Friendship Challenge. If you guys are in the vicinity, you want to stop by, we'll be giving away prizes, all kind of things like that. And on Saturday, I'll be DJing at Elmer's over there on McDill. So playing some old school, and I can play whatever the hell I want because there's no censoring, which is a beautiful thing. Elmer's is a non-censored type place. That's why I like DJing there. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, I appreciate you guys all listening in. I think we're all, I think we expected to be crying in our cornflakes, and that's not the case, which is wonderful. Our Buccaneers are 1-0, and life is good. So everybody enjoy their week, and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Do you love college football? Of course you do. And there's no better place for your college football conversation than right here on Rush the Field. I'm Scott Seidenberg, and alongside my co-host, veteran coach, scout, and consultant Chris Landry, we're going to break down the college game from all different aspects. Whether it's breaking news, big-time matchups, or just arguing about the rankings, Chris and I will have it all covered. So join us on Rush the Field with me, Scott Seidenberg, and Chris Landry. Available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.